Thank you, sisters, for the beautiful special. We have this opportunity now to hear from our brother, Jose. I'm always thankful to be able to share the podium with our brother. I've always enjoyed his humility and his approach towards his messages that he gives to us. So I pray that you consider the things that he has this night and pray for him, that he be able to give those things that has been impressed upon his heart. And I'm thankful for all those who have tuned in to live streaming, that you've joined us in our services this night. So I'll give to you our brother Jose.
Good evening to all of you. Thank you for taking the time to be here tonight and to be part of this moment that we have with our Lord. I'm really happy to be here, and this will be my first time that I'm able to share the word with you in this day. There is a very special day which we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you know, and as everybody know, just like my brother Gordon said, I do ask for your prayers that God will keep me in my feet as I'm standing in front of you. Brother Gordon asked me, as soon as I open the service for you, I'm going to go and sit down. I'm like, I would just like you to stay here behind me just in case if I fall. But nevertheless, God will sustain me. This message that I have today, this night, I was really excited about it. And God touched my heart as I was traveling to California to see my family up there. And I never noticed how much family I have in Northern California. And the reason that I was there, a lot of you guys know, that I was there for to support my family. There was my nephew, a passed. And so we were, Rebecca, you know, she does not know anybody up there, and it was hard for her to make that decision to go with me. But I feel the need that I really needed to be there, because this is somebody who I grew up with. We grew up together. We got in trouble together. And so I had a lot of memories from my nephew. He was pretty close to me. And so I felt the need that I should be there. And so we were there. I noticed a lot of things that I already forgot as a Catholic, because the service was in a church that was Catholic. It was a good service. The priest there touched really good scriptures. But of course, if you pay attention to what they say, and then you realize that what the scriptures they're using, it is true. But then they kind of flip the coin or whatever you want to call it, and they go another way. And that's when I realized there's so many people up there that are still a little blind. I hope it doesn't sound too too bad. When I first started reading the Bible in the Book of Mormon, my eyes were open. My eyes were open, and I wanted to share that joy with my brothers and my sisters and my family. And so I noticed that day and that time that there is a lot of work to do. The worshiping, something they perhaps they not know who they are worshiping. And so I took the opportunity that This is a Christmas service, and God touched my heart with these messages. And I start searching on the computer, and I find this picture here, and what child is this? And so that is the question, and that is part of my sermon that I'm gonna have for you guys today. And I hope I make my point, and my point is that I wanna introduce not too many of us, because we know who this child is, but there's many out there that don't know who this child is. And in these days and in these times that we're living, especially around this time, it's a Christ, but we focus more on the materialism, the things of the world. And so I hope that by the time I go through this, God will give you the understanding as I wish myself for that wisdom too, and that He will give me the understanding. As I was listening this morning, from the time that Brother Adam opened his service this morning, the Sunday school, everything, all day, today, it was about him. And from the beginning, he was talking about the God is being with us from the beginning. And it says, write it down, Brother Adam, can men see God? That's a really big question. And he touched a lot of the scriptures that are proof. It's so much proof out there. The thing is, do you have faith that this, what you're reading, what you're seeing here in these books is true? I'm sure you know the scripture that says that the Word of God is a living Word. He is alive. He is not hanging on the tree like many people think. He is alive. He's a resurrected God. And so that's the promises that we have from Him, that if we live with Him, we die in Him, we will live with Him. As I see my family going through that painful time, they're losing their loved one. At that time, all you got to do is just pray for them, and then just, because I don't think that no word you say is going to comfort them at that time, because they're going through a really hard time. But if they knew the truth, perhaps they will have a little bit more peace in their hearts. I'm going to read some scriptures here that maybe, if I'm wrong, you can approach me and correct me. But my beliefs and my research that I did as I was preparing for this service, I believe that God, it was the Christ. It was here from the beginning. There's a song up there, a motto song. I can't remember the name, but it says, I see you in everything. God, I see you in everything. I see Him in each one of you. And we are an example to those that don't know Him, that they might see Him in us. Because God is love. God is love. You know, we're reading Moses when he was in the presence of the burning bush. There was no fire. The bush was not burning. It was not consuming. It was the love of God. It was the love of God. But I don't know who mentioned it this morning, He's a fear. We need to fear Him too, because as His love does not burn you, He can consume you too. If we think about the Levites, they had they were the only ones that were able to go into the temple, because they had the authority to go in the presence of the Lord. If you have something for Him, you will have to go to a Levite priest so he can enter it. So he can speak for you to God. No one was just allowed into the temple and see God, because you will not live, just like Brother Ora mentioned this morning. So I'm going to read Here in Genesis, in chapter 16, 7, real quick, I have a few scriptures here. I'm going to get to it. Perhaps I'm finished before the hour. I believe in myself, and I hope you guys believe also, that the Lord has been around us from the beginning. Genesis 16, 7 says, the angel of the Lord, this is talking about Hagar. She was sent away by her mistress, Sarai, I believe, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her. Just like Brother Hugh this morning says, you know, when it's talking about the angel of the Lord, it's always a capital letter that begins with. So I believe that this, the angel of the Lord, is talking about God himself that is in the presence, even to our, from people from the old times. He was always around them. And to the time they come, the prophecies, Isaiah, that he will come to the world. So I'm going to read in Genesis 16:7, all the way to 11. All the way to 11. It says, and the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whence wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. You know, if you we remember, that was the same promise that God made to Abraham when he talked to him. He will give him a son, which he didn't have at the time. And it was hard for him to believe at the age that he was. Continue on 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And I jump to 13 and say, and she called the name of the Lord, that speaking to her, that thou God sees me. For she say, have I also here look after him that sees me. So he sees you, he sees us. I take this scripture right here, that he sees us in everything we do, he's with us in all we do. You're never alone. And that's what Christ says, you know, don't be afraid. I'm always be with you. And so we have to put those words in ourselves and to comfort us in times of need. We all have something going on, but God is always right next to you. And I'm going to read the second time that he appears to her, the second time that she was sent away, for the second time that Sarai sent her, and the angel of the Lord speak to her again. And so as it's in Genesis 21, verse 17 and 18, it says, and God heard the voice of the Lord. This is once they were in the desert, and she was so afraid of his son that it was going to pass, so she kind of went apart from him because she didn't want to see the death of her son. So, but God talked to her again, and perhaps her son, by then he was a young child. Perhaps I believe he was praying to God that he heard his cry. And the angel of the Lord talked to her, and God heard the voice of the Lord, and the angel of God called to Hagar, out of heaven, and saying to her, what ail thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the Lord where he is. Arise, lift up the Lord, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. See, God is still now forgiving her. The second time that he appeared to her, the promise is still going. It's still going. So what I'm trying to say here is that he is with us from the old days. King Benjamin in the Book of Mormon, he mentioned that all that he has to say in that proclamation that he was about to give to his people, it was revealed by the angel of the Lord. And we read it in Mosiah chapter 2, verse 1, and now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made it and is speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes around about the multitude, and behold, they have fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. The fear of the Lord. Lord, our God is love, but if we love him, we need to fear him according to our actions. According to our actions, he's told us, he has told us to love to each other, to one another, to pray to one another. We need to keep those promises in our minds and our hands and ourselves, especially around this time. You know, sometimes we are embarrassing or whatever situation is to ask for prayers. But you know what? No matter how little that need is, we should always come out to you, brother, to you, sister. And if, you know, ask for that help, because God has told us to humble ourselves and to search for whatever the need is. And first of all, God is first. God is first. We need to trust in God first. And Alma, the sons of Mosiah, I believe, the sons of Mosiah, which they were doing horrible things, walking in the in paths, strange paths, as you see so many times in these days of young kids doing things they're not supposed to be doing, and it's just misbehaving. But at this time, you know, these children, these kids, young guys, were their parents were born in the church. And for whatever reason, they were misbehaving. We see it today. We see it today. And that is why when we make that covenant with God as we walk into the waters of baptism, that is when you tie the knot with God and you have make a promise that you will follow and obey his commandments. Mosiah 11:163. This is as they were, just a little bit what was going on there. They were on the way to destroy, I have no idea what they were going to do, but they were up to no good. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. I'm going to read it. And as I lay unto you, as they were going about to rebel against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and he descended as it were in a cloud, and he spake as were with a voice of thunder, which caused the earth to shake, upon which they stood. The angel of the Lord is always aware of everything we do. Everywhere we going, he's always aware with us. He's always aware of the things that we need and the things that we are going to do. And that is why God is always first. We need to, every morning before you stand up, you have to give thanks to the Lord for all he has done for you and for the simple fact that you were able to put your foot in the ground. We read a little bit about what happened to Paul as we're going to Damascus to do his, he was going to arrest, persecuting the Christians. And just how it says right here in Mosiah, it was like a loud a thunder, light. And so appears to Paul. And what does it say? I am Jesus Christ. So, just like this morning, Brother Gordon, he touched many, many points they were talking about from even the Old Testament. We're talking about the same God. So he is the same today and forever. And I'm going to continue on here in Acts we read a little bit about Paul, and said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly the shine around about him, a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. So at this point, he says, Who art thou, Lord? We know that he knew the Lord already. And the things that he was doing, he thought it was the right thing. He was pleasing God. And today we see so many those same situations around the world, and that's why there's so many sufferings. Because there's many people out there that twist the scriptures and the doctrines of God, that follow the doctrines of men instead of the doctrines of God. And so there's a lot of persecuting these days, and we see it, and we know. And so, but in their mind, they're saying, they think I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to start with my PowerPoint. It's first time or second time I do this. So this first time, they didn't work too good, so we'll see how this works. I'm going to begin with what child is this? So as I'm going to my PowerPoint, I really don't have any comments, and I know that God will give me those comments. It's different when you have it in front of you than when you have it in your paper. What child is this? We're going to read in Genesis. In Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. It's not true. It is true. In the beginning. And 20 says, it says, and God say, let us make men in our image after our own likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That was his responsibility. But if you see, I make those letters a little bit big that says, let us make. So it's talking about just not one person, it's talking about two persons. So I believe in there that he's talking, there's God and God the Father and God the Son. And so that is a proof that it's not just God in the beginning. I had that discussion with someone in my work about this simple thing that people today, they have a problem. They have a problem. They worship Christ. There is a problem for many up there because we don't worship God. We don't worship God. But the reality is that, as I continue on, it's the same person. All must begin with God. Always put God first. Everything begins with God. The first stone in every building, I have some scriptures and right there, which is, I'm not going to read, but if you want to write it down, it speaks about Christ. It all goes to him. It all proves that it's talking about Christ. I'm going to read in Alma 17:70. So the first aim and purpose of all activity, Alma. Yeah, when thou liest down at night, lay down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou rise up in the morning, let thy heart be full and thanks to God. And if you do these things, you should be lifted in the last day. God is first. We always have to put God first. Always give him thanks in everything. And everything we do, he deserves all the glory and the honor. In the Book of Mormon, we see the many examples of his coming. And once again, Brother Gordon touched the vision of what he saw, what the angel revealed to Nephi. Ether, Brother Adam mentioned it this morning also. And Ether, it is so interesting in that first chapter that he was able to see God face to face, I believe. It says, and I'm going to just go to it just to make sure. 11, if you guys want to follow me, chapter 1, verse 74, I'm sorry. I should have marked it here. 71, 72, it says, and he saying to the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I feared lest he should smite me, for I knew not that the Lord have flesh and blood. And the Lord saying to him, because of thy faith thou hast seen that I should take upon my flesh and blood, and never has man come before me with such exceeding faith. Maybe it's not the time that we will have the opportunity to see him as just the brother Jerry here is talking about. That is so much faith that he had that he was able to see that. But if you read here, it says that he will take in flesh and blood. And it's talking about his coming. About his coming this is one of his promises that we have. Then in Nephi's vision, he still sees in chapter 1, the Messiah. He's talking about, this is, I write right here, 600 BC. This is way, way before everything was done. Before I was born. This promises we have it for the beginning. And so my point here is that we need to share this with those who do not have the understanding that. And at this point, myself, I feel the same way. I confess that we need to read more of scriptures and to learn it and to know that we may be able to defend ourselves from those who believe that we are worshiping the wrong God. And 1 Nephi chapter 3 and 4. Let's see, chapter 3 and 4, it says, and after they should be brought back of captivity to possess against the land of their inheritance, yet even 600 years from the time that my father in Jerusalem, a prophet will the Lord God raise up among the Jews, yet even a Messiah. And in other words, a Savior. A Savior. And it continues on in the same chapter. It's talking about a Savior, a Messiah, and we know who that is. 1 Nephi 3:7-9, it clarifies it again there. Who is the prophet that who's going to come to open and prepare the way for him? And it says 7:9. It says, and he speak also concerning a prophet which will come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. Yeah, even that he should go forth and cry into the wilderness and prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. We know that there is, and it's talking about in the first Gospels, that John did that. I'm going to skip these two verses so I can get to where I'm going. Isaiah speak about Jesus in a way that, like he know him already. And that is why when he was called, he went to Israel and to warn them, to prepare them for this arrival. And so the prophets from the Old Testament, that was the point. They wanted to warn Israel that we should be prepared. There was a Messiah coming. And then, but even when Christ came, they don't know who he was. They don't know who he was when he was walking around and doing his ministry. And instead, they wanted to kill him. But if they were to know and understand what Isaiah and the other prophets and from the Old Testament were saying, they were always speaking about him. I wanted to introduce him, who he was and who he is now. And that's all about this the scriptures talk about. So I'm going to read and say Isaiah 11:1, it says, and there shall come forth a roar out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, the branch. And Isaiah 11:2, it says, and continue, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, that the Spirit of knowledge and all the fear of the Lord. He's talking about this branch from the beginning, and Brother Gordon touched that too also. And I'm like, okay, looks like all my scriptures they've been using since the last week, but they all have a different mean, common. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord prepare us for these days. That even from the last week, everything has been like is like a plan that he does. And I believe the it's not that we are repeating or that we share the scriptures, but that's how God works. He wants us to understand and to remark those words in our heart and know that he is and he was before. So who is this branch? And Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. I remember last week, Brother Jay mentioned this. It's talking about we will see him, that we might don't have desire of him. I don't know, there's so many comments that you can come out with for this. There is no beauty. When he was in the presence of Pilate, and he was beat 40 times, who they let go? Barabbas? They didn't see the beauty of him. Did they see beauty in Barabbas? I don't think so. They were blind. They were blind and they were punished in the wrong person. But we are ignorant and we choose the wrong. Instead of choosing Christ, they choose some thief who like to do the wrong things. But they didn't see the beauty of him because they didn't know him. If they know him, they would have chosen him. I believe that. If they knew the scriptures, like they said, they were masters of it. Christ said, if you knew the scriptures, you will understand what I'm saying. But then I told us who you are, and that's enough for us. But he said, I have told you everything, who I am, but you will not understand because you are blind. You are blind. And Zechariah 6:12 says, and speaking to him, saying, thou speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he should grow up out of his place, and he should build the temple of the Lord. He should build the temple of the Lord. Are we his temple? You know, sometimes I think about, what is the third temple coming? Or what's the third temple about? Can we be his first, third temple? Because he said he will live in a temple not made with hands, by hands. I don't know. That's another something that to talk about the third temple, which I don't have that much understanding about that. But I know that he said, I do not live in temples made by hands. For as far as I know, we are his temple. We are his temple. I know, I don't know how that happened. I was trying to fix it. It's like a little fly there. Isaiah continued with his prophecies in chapter 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And 2 Nephi, in his vision, the angel told Nephi, asked Nephi, what do you see? And this is 700 before Christ, B.C. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He has many, many names, and they always begin with the capital letter. And that's how you know when you're reading your scriptures, and then you run into these verses that you know that the Spirit is giving you the understanding that it's talking about Christ coming. Because he was the creator. He is the creator of everything. Everything was done, like I said, like I just read in Genesis first, in the beginning was God. And everything was made by him. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph. Here I believe that they... The angel of the Lord was God speaking to Joseph, telling him not to be ashamed or worry about what was going on. I don't know how it was in those days, but I'm going to read here in Matthew 1:18-23, it looks like. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being just man and not willing to make her a public example, was mind to put her away privately. And I heard that in those days, like when you when you guys engage, when we are engaged, it's almost like we have made the promise already to be together and like a marriage. So it was pretty serious in those days. And even now, it can be embarrassing maybe because you have announced it and then something goes wrong and then what will you do? You disappear or something, I don't know. But it was pretty serious in those days, and so he felt pretty bad when he accepted her as his fiance, and she stays away for a few months, comes back with a sign of a baby, and so he was pretty disappointed. But God intervened there. God talked to him, like he can talk to us anytime in a dream. in a song and worshiping. He speak to us in any way, and we pay attention when we come to hear His word. He's talking to you. He's talking to you, and He will comfort you. He will comfort you and you in your time that you hear. But while he thought all these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appearing to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. This is more clear than water. This is his point to be here, that God has sent him to save us from our sins. And as you can see here, he called him Son of David, because he was from the David tribe, or lineage. Yeah, thank you so much. 121, and she shall bring for a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and it shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, for being interpreted is God with us. That is a hard thing to accept, just especially like me, being Catholic. That was a hard thing for me to accept. Just like Brother Aaron said this morning, I knew that no one has seen God face to face. But we read in Exodus that Moses speak to God face to face many times. But it was hard for me to believe that. And then you read in Ether, the brother Jerry speak to him, and he was able to see him, even to know that he was just like we are, a man, born flesh and blood. God is with us. And Luke 2, second, I should say, first verse all the way to 7, which talks about a little bit the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his spouse, wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That was her first son. And that's another thing. What I saw there, like I said, the preacher there touched really good verses, but then he turned to Mary, and they start worshiping Mary. They don't want to understand, they don't want to believe that he was not his first and only son. After that, she had more sons, more daughters, and she was not longer a virgin. But if you say something like that, you be prepared that you might offend them. And that's what it caused me to think. And perhaps, and I don't give myself credit, perhaps that was my opportunity for me to represent in whom I believe and whom our life is in his hands. I see my nephew laying there in the, which is an empty shelf. But for them, they believe that he is not in heaven and not in earth. And of course for that, they take advantage of that situation where you don't see it. You don't see anything in the scriptures that says that when you die, you go, you're not in heaven and you're not in earth, but you in between. And so they have these 9 days, they get together and pray. And pray to Mary that she may pray to Christ for you loved one, that he may make it to heaven. I don't have the scripture here, but I believe it's in the Book of Mormon that says that when your body and your spirit are separated, it goes back to God because we are his. And to the time that comes, that we may be justified. The word become flesh. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and this is from the beginning, from Genesis to John. First John talks about being witnesses, disciples being witnesses about what they saw, what they eat with Christ, they walk with him, they talk with him, they were witnesses of all the miracles. I love the first book of John because this it goes together with the beginning, and so does John. But I don't know. I have never read a Catholic Bible. I never put my hands. I have put my hands in one of those. I don't know exactly what it says or what is the understanding that when they read John. Because that goes with what I just read in the book of Genesis. I'm going to read it, John 1st and chapter 1 and all the way to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was the life, and the life was the light of the of man. And if you notice, Christ, when he was preaching, he told them that he saw Abraham. And Abraham saw him when those three personages came to his tent when they were on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, if I got that right. He saw three personages, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is so true that he was able to see them, and Christ told them, I can't remember how many years after that, but he said, even before Abraham, I was. That's a pretty strong, it's pretty strong words. I can't find the right word to say, but that's powerful. Even before you, I was, I make you. I create you. In Exodus 3:14, and God saying to Moses, I am that I am. And he say, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The I am. the greatest I am. Everything was made by him from the beginning. And I love this picture right here because there's not one, but there's two. There's so many proof. There's so much proof up there. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit was with us this day. And even from last weekend, everything, it was like a plan. Everything went together. And all those the sermons that we had, and even this morning in Sunday school, it was all about him. And see, other people have no idea. And as I have read here, we need to when we had that opportunity to witness him to others, let's not waste it. And I feel ashamed of myself that I wasn't able to approach them at that time, because when you lose a loved one, you're in pain. You're not even thinking right. And so perhaps in the future, when I have the opportunity to go back and visit them, I might be able to witness my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to them. He is the light. That is the seal we have in our books. That's the seal of our church. He is the light of the world. We have to be the light of the world, because he has given us light. He has given us light. And John 8:12 said, "And speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light." And we don't walk no more in darkness, because we are not slaves of sin. We are free. In Christ, we are free. We are free. He says in Isaiah, if our sins were red as carmesee, they would be white as snow. Can we think those words as we walking in this world and face situations, temptations, maybe young kids trying to fit in with those kids of the world up there that they're making fun of you, or they will do whatever they can to make you fit in with them. And because that's a problem that we have these days that is going and going and going. In Matthew 27:54, we see and we read what happened when he was crucified, even into the point that he was hanging on the cross. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Someone who has a really hard heart, you know, a centurion, he was a killer weapon. He has seen many deaths. He have killed many people. A centurion was a killer. But he saw something different in this one, in this crucifixion. And after all that he went through, and that he was trying to make and understand who he was. And when he was hanging, that all these things happened, and we read it in the Book of Mormon too. And that's when they believe. But if one seed die, it's for more to grow. This is the plan that was from the beginning. And we had that a famous verse of John 3:16, that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for our sins. 33 years alive, I write down here, and only 3 years he was preaching his gospel. that really impressed me. Truly, this was the Son of God. That's who this child was. As I said in the beginning, whose child is this? It's the Son of God. It's our Savior, our Lord, our King of Kings. The great I am. 3 Nephi 5:11, and it came to pass that he stretched out for his hand and speak unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testify shall come into the world. The prophets from the beginning, from the Old Testament, they will testify about him over and over and over. And that is just one of my favorite scriptures here, that he came and they still have thoughts, who is this, an angel? Until he showed them his hands and the marks that he had in his hands, he will come again and we will see those marks in his hands and you will know that he is Jesus Christ. And who we trust. In John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, we are nothing. We are lost. We still living in darkness. Revelations 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify into these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. We just read that. He is the branch. He is the root that they were talking about. And the bright and the morning star. 13, Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. No one comes to the Father but by him. He is from the beginning, and he is forever and ever. Revelation 22:20, he which testified these things say, surely I come quickly. We need to be prepared. The days are going so fast. We have not much time. It's like sand. Did you try to hold in your hands and it just goes right to your fingers? Our life is very short. But eternal life is very long. Very long. We need to think about that. He is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was from the beginning and who is now. This is who this child is. And I present it to you. It's Jesus Christ and who we believe and who we have hope and with who we will live forever if we continue on the right path, because he doesn't change. He's the same God from the beginning and from now and into now and into the days to come. I hope you guys understand me, what I was trying to say here. And I hope I make my point. And I pray that this message was used of you. Thank you so much.